can't figure out where Minnesota is. Ken Martin is the head of the Minnesota DFL. Folks, this weekend, not only did we have the endorsements that came on down, there was a story out of California I'll get to a little bit later on that reminded me of this. We do have a lot of serious news, and I'll get to a Minnesota update here in just a little bit. But we've got to move on, kind of. I can't just do, for my own sanity to a point, I can't just do another do shows of just all the dark news around coronavirus. We're going to make sure we give you a light of hope. And that light of hope is this. Voting Democrat, voting DFL in November can save this country. And so I am going to reinstitute, starting today, Democrat of the Day. Democrat of the Day for today, Ken Martin, the head of the DFL, kind enough to join us right now. Hi, Ken.
Hey, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time. I want to give you commending. I know you're kind of taking a lot of this on the fly like everyone else is. How do you feel like the online endorsement process? I know you guys were piecing this together. You're caught off guard like everyone else. How do you feel that went overall?
Well, overall, it's just gone incredibly smoothly. And, you know, we've gotten rave reviews from people throughout the state who really appreciated the chance that they still had a chance to participate. And, you know, for me, my guiding principle in this whole process was to make sure that our grassroots voices throughout the state still had an ability to not only endorse candidates, but elect delegates to subsequent conventions and, of course, decide what our party stood for through party resolutions for our platform. And, you know, it's really important to me, you know, how much I care about our party and the voices of the grassroots being able to participate. And, you know, look, it was a lot to do in a really truncated period and, of course, really unprecedented. But what I'm, you know, glad to be able to say is that we found a way to make sure that those voices were still able to participate. And we were able to confer endorsements in all of our races up and down the ballot so far. And it's just been a great process.
I think eventually, not now. I mean, eventually I do want to talk with you because I want to wonder at some point if we're going to go back. Because I think that that's sometimes this is what happens is that there's a reluctance to try something new technologically. If it works well, then I think that people are like, well, maybe we just do it that way from here on out. We'll get to that. I know you're still evaluating as we go. So that's a little further down the road. You and I, the last time we talked, we were just starting to talk about coronavirus and Governor Walz and some of the initiatives that were taking place. Talk about right now your thoughts on how Governor Walz has handled this and the status of Minnesota with this increased testing as well as the stay-at-home order still intact.
Well, I think Governor Walz and, you know, clearly Minnesotans feel the same way. 82% of Minnesotans in a recent poll, actually a KSTP poll, are favor the job that Governor Walz has done. They think he's done a spectacular job. And, I think governors across the country, frankly, have done a spectacular job, not just Democrats, but Republicans as well. People like Larry Hogan in Maryland and as well as Mike DeWine in Ohio. I think governors, by and large, have led responsibly in this effort. But particular to Tim Walz, the one thing that I think is unique about him and his leadership is he's tailor-made for the moment, both being a teacher. I think he's able to explain a lot of these complex situations in layman's terms in ways that all of us can understand, and he can frankly bring us along in the conversation. And then as a military guy, someone who was trained in the military and served for a long time, he is used to crisis and being calm, cool, and collected under fire, so to speak. And I think those two attributes have made him uniquely fit for this moment in time. And because of that, he's led our state well. He's made the right decisions. He's relied the right way on experts around him. He hasn't been dismissive of what medical professionals and scientists and his public health agencies are saying. And he's made the right decisions each and every step of the way here. And I know it's an anxious time for all of us here in Minnesota, but I know that he's eased some of that anxiety in terms of how he's led. And I'm really proud of his leadership.
There was a quote, I believe it was FDR, who was talking about, if I'm not mistaken, as they're ramping up for World War II, that trying times show the character of great leaders, but as well, it also is a fertile field for weak leaders who basically like to exploit the crisis. And I'm paraphrasing that one horribly, but the reality is there have been calls from the Republicans, and once again, there have been a lot of Republicans who have been on board, who have understood. We understand we're going with the science on this. We're going with the medical community on this. There are a lot of Republicans who have stepped up and said, you know what? No, we're behind the governor. Let's make sure Minnesotans are safe. But we do have a growing contingent of Republicans in the state who it's easy to scream, reopen up everything, because if the governor does, they can always blame the governor for doing so. And as long as the governor doesn't, they basically can complain about it and turn it into an issue to try and rile up their base. Talk about that a little bit, the irresponsibility, I think, of some of the Republicans in the state to now turn to this easy fodder to just basically try to make political points.
Well, again, what I would say is that I think this is not a partisan issue. Mm-hmm. This is an issue that is impacting everyone. And you know, I think about George Bush and what he said a couple of weeks ago in a really, I think, poignant and powerful message that was immediately derided by Donald Trump and other Republicans. When he said that, you know, at this moment, our differences are so small and minor compared to what we are all as humanity facing and what is in front of us. And I think it's important for folks to realize that at this time. And we can obviously point fingers both ways. And I will say that I think it's completely irresponsible for people like Jason Lewis and other folks like Paul Gazelka and Jim Hagedorn and so many others to essentially push prematurely for an opening of this state. We need to be responsible. We need to be thoughtful. We need to listen to experts at this moment in time, not politicians who are trying to advance their own political agenda. Right now, people aren't interested in a partisan political agenda. They're interested in survival. They're interested in making sure that their family is okay. And right now we need leadership that calls us all to this common purpose and this fight ahead of us and not tries to divide based on their own political and partisan agenda. And that's, again, why I see, you know, leaders throughout the country, both Republicans and Democrats, who are doing that, who are bringing us together. And then there's people, primarily Republicans, who are trying to divide us, trying to use this as an opportunity to advance their own political agenda. And, you know, Jason Lewis, standing out there in front of the governor's residence with all those protesters a few weeks back. If this is who you want representing you in the U.S. Senate, then I'm not sure why you think that's appropriate leadership and whether that's a good thing for our state moving forward. And again, we need to trust the experts here, not the politicians.
And for anyone out there right now who's saying, well, it's Ken Martin, the head of the DFL, saying this. The DFL opinion, which is the opinion of most medical people and most scientists, is let's not kill off 1% of the population of the state, which would be 56,000 people. The Republicans are the ones who are openly saying, well, if 1% of the population dies, what's the big deal? That's 56,000 Minnesotans. How many towns don't even have that population in the state? For goodness sakes, that is insanity to suggest that that is a counterpoint to, you know, trying to keep people safe. I mean, this is not, it isn't partisan. It's a common sense thing. And there is a requirement that Jason Lewis and the rest of these Republicans that are chanting for this, they need people to turn off their common sense for this to make sense. And unfortunately, some people are, which is really crazy.
Yeah, it is. And again, I would just ask people to, you know, look back in history. And the reality is all the experts suggest that until we find a vaccine for this virus, that we're going to continue to see this flare up at various times over the coming weeks, months, and months ahead, and maybe even years ahead. And so while people are anxious to sort of get back to life as we know it, we need to understand that for the time being, every time we decide that we're going to sort of violate the shelter-at-home orders or that we're going to push prematurely for our states and federal government to sort of open up these various parts of our economy and get back to life as we know it, every time we push prematurely, we are actually extending this out even further. The best thing we can do right now to combat this virus head-on, the best thing we can do to be patriotic is not to protest out in front of the governor's residence, not to violate these orders, but actually who obey these orders to stay at home and to socially distance and do the responsible things, because at the end of the day, we all have a responsibility to each other, whether we're Democrats or Republicans. At this time, it doesn't matter. We have a responsibility to each other, to humanity and to our state and country and to the world. And if we follow these rules, we'll be able to beat this pandemic. But if we don't, we just keep extending it.
I want to bring up one issue. Ken Martin, for the head of the DFL, is joining us. I want to bring up one issue that is clearly going to become a larger issue. Donald Trump, as well as Stauber up in the 8th District, had preached that they were going to bring back American Steel. Before coronavirus hit, we had layoffs at U.S. Steel, the shutting down of foundries, the cancellation of orders, mines already in fiscal trouble. This coronavirus has sent this over the edge. You have mine after mine on the Iron Range currently laying off employees in large mass. Talk a little bit about this. I'm a big fan of Quinn Nystrom personally up in the DFL candidate up in the 8th District. You know, we've got it. I feel as if there is this mistake that was been made by the people up there to trust guys like Stauber and guys like Trump to basically pull out the steel industry, when the reality is they had no intention of saving steel. It became a bargaining chip, and the U.S. steel industry is now in worse shape thanks to Donald Trump and the actions of Representative Stauber.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, people forget that before COVID-19, particularly with the tariffs that Donald Trump had put in place, that big parts of our economy were really suffering due to the trade war that he instigated with China and other countries around the world. And his irresponsible leadership was impacting a great swaths of Minnesota, from the agriculture community to the mining community, you name it. That before COVID-19, there was already a crisis brewing, and that was thanks to Donald Trump's failed leadership and Pete Stauber going along with that. And so there's no doubt that what we're seeing right now is a tragedy. Lots of people on the range and throughout the state losing their jobs. We're likely to hit, you know, record high unemployment. We're at 15% right now around the country, which matches what we saw during the Great Depression. People expect that to climb even higher before year end. And we just got a lot of work to do to get people back to work and make sure that this doesn't even become worse. It's worse. It's bad. It's we know that there's going to be a lot of calamity here as it relates to the economy and people's livelihoods. But we need leadership right now that is actually going to help us think through how we put this back together, and to do it in a responsible way and not an irresponsible way, which is what the Republicans are suggesting here. I think, you know, one example of where Republicans are falling down here is as it relates to an infrastructure bill that the governor put through in the legislature.
Yeah.
Governor and Democrats said, look, we can put people back to work. We can create jobs, building the infrastructure around the state that is critical and that is much needed. Here's a way to do that. Here's a way to support hardworking men and women in the construction industry while also supporting these critical projects. And Kurt Dowd and the Republicans tried to hold the bill hostage, saying that if you don't reopen the state of Minnesota, we're not going to support these jobs. So it's really, really hypocritical on the part of the Republicans to say they actually care about jobs, to say they care about working men and women. The reality is that every step of the way, as you alluded to, they use men and women and hardworking men and women who work in these jobs as bargaining chips instead of actually caring a damn about their livelihood and putting them back to work.
Oh, I've got some choice words for Kurt Dow coming up here in just a little bit myself. But I want to bring up, there's a race in California, California 25. It's a U.S. House seat. And right now it's a Democratic seat that the Democrats, they did mailed out ballots to everyone. Republicans have returned their ballots. Democrats just haven't. And this is one of the reasons why I'm starting back up Democrat of the Day, is I think there is this tendency to forget that there is a very consequential election that's coming up here. And if we don't pay attention, that we could end up with another 4 years of this nightmarish administration. Once again, the worst coronavirus response of any country on the planet due to Donald Trump and his mismanagement of this crisis. We don't need another 4 years of that. But at the same time, I think it's easy in this day and age to get distracted. And so we need to put the focus out there. We have a lot of great DFL candidates. We can win the Minnesota Senate. We can get a larger majority in the Minnesota House. These are things that are attainable. It's just as people need to get active again and help out, especially when it comes to donating and volunteering for the candidates.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I mean, look, the one thing I would say that, you know, is a positive is we have an opportunity to change what's happening in this country. And as I said before, we all know that elections have consequences. And maybe if there's a silver lining in all of this, and there's not much of a silver lining during this pandemic, but it's that people are paying attention now to what their elected officials are doing or not doing. They're paying attention because they have to. They realize that for all of us to survive, for our economy to get back on track, it's going to take people who actually give a damn and people who are compassionate and who center people in their politics. And so hopefully people are starting to wake up and realize that they made a mistake in 2016, right? All of those Democrats who ended up voting for third-party candidates, all of those folks who voted for Trump who were independent voters, right? I hope they realize now that what they did in 2016 was a mistake and that, you know, we have an opportunity to fix that and have a course correction here and put our country back on track with some leadership that's actually going to restore some sanity and decency to the White House and to government, frankly. You know, it's really important right now that people have faith and confidence in the response from not only our state government and the leaders throughout the country, but also our federal government. And right now, the vast majority of Americans do not have faith or confidence that their president and their federal government is helping to lead the way on this.
Vote DFL, everyone out there. DFL.org, DFL.org. Ken Martin, the head of the DFL. Ken, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the time. I'll get as many of these candidates on as I can over the next few months. All my best, and by all means, stop by anytime you have time, my friend.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it, Matt. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Ken. Ken Martin from the DFL. We'll take a break. We're really late at this point. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.